May the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer. There's a place in John 18 that in Bible study last night we looked at some. And I was thinking about that again this morning in my time, footstool time. And Pilate is speaking to Jesus and he says to him, "So you are the king," because Jesus had just acknowledged that his kingdom wasn't of this world. And so he says, "You are a king." And Jesus answered and said, "You say correctly that I am a king. For this I have been born, and for this I have come into the world, to bear witness of the truth. Everyone who is of the truth hears my voice." Now Jesus, in the verse before, talks about kingdom, but he pointedly says in the scripture, when he says, "So you are a king," and Jesus said, "For this I was born, and for this I came into the world." Now, a kingdom is a manifestation, an extension of someone who's a king. And Jesus pointedly said, not separating himself, but uniquely saying, "Yes, I am a king. That's part of my identity. And for this purpose, I came into the world." It says in chapter 14 of Romans, verse 9 says, "And for this purpose, he both died and rose again, that he might be Lord," or kings, interchangeably, in Jesus' day, "that he might be king of both the Lord and the living." We know that there are things that are spoken of in Scripture that speak of people in the church universally, but are also appropriate for us personally. Like one of them is that we're the body of Christ. That's a universal word. The church universally is the body of Christ, but it's also an individual word, that we host his presence. We're the body of Christ. We're the body of Christ. And that many things, spiritual truths are like that. And Jesus didn't just come to be king of the world, king of his kingdom. One of the things it says in Luke 22 is that the kingdom of heaven is within you. And so there's also the reality of the kingdom that's within you. There's the kingdom of God that's without, that we see manifested, but that kingdom also is within us. And so Jesus didn't just come to be king of the kingdom, he became to be king of your heart, of your life. For this purpose, it says he was born. And it's why he came into the world. It's for this purpose for which you were born again, and that he came into your heart, that he might rule in your life as king. In the Song of Solomon, chapter 1, this is a section that I've been sharing in the devotionals, and I'll speak of it today, so you get first dibs of this. When he says again, having the Shulamite representing those who want to go deeper, says, "Take me away with you and let us run to that place that you've prepared for me, that place that you purchased for me." Jesus, again, didn't just die on the cross and rise again so that we'd be stamped born again and shuffle our way throughout eternity. He paid for us, he paid for our sin that we might have life and have it more abundantly, that we would go as far as possible in Christ's likeness. Draw me after you, or take me away with you. Let us run to that place, to the heights. And then the very next line says, the king, in response to that heart's cry, said, the king has brought me into his chambers. If you've heard me teach from the Song of Solomon over the years, it's always interesting to me that these chambers, they're interior chambers. They're always going closer in interior. And more, to more familiarity, more intimacy in the king's. Solomon had this great tent, but it was a tent that almost was like a castle, and there were these chambers. You'd go into one through one veiled door, to another one, to another one, to another one, and the closer you went, the closer you got to where his throne was set up, to where his living quarters were. And so the word's plural, that there's an ever-growing deeper into the things of God once you sign up for Christ-likeness, once you sign up to be conformed to the image of Christ. Once you sign up, say, "Lord, I want it all. Take me to that place. Let us run there. I want all that you are. I want all that you have in my experience." So there's an ever deepening going into the heart of Jesus. But it's interesting to me here that the way it's said, and again, let me just encourage you. You said, "Bishop, that sounds like such an awesome thing. Well, what do I do?" Pray the prayer. That's the one prayer he'll always answer. Always. Like capital always, exclamation mark. "Lord, take me away with you to that place. Let us run." He will always start the journey. Now, you can say no at any point, but he'll always respond to that prayer. Always. But it says, in response, he says, the king has brought me into his chambers, plural. The challenge that's going to be from one chamber to the next is always his kingship, always his lordship. That's the beginning foundational place in terms of us after having cried out, Lord, take me away to that place. Draw me after you. Let us run into the chambers of your heart, into the deep things of your presence, into the deep things of experiencing all that you are. It's the king that brings you into the chambers, and you never forget that he's king. And there's always a challenge towards how surrendered are you willing to be? How far do you want to go in? How much are you willing to give up? And therefore, we're giving him permission as king to show us those things. As you've heard me say over the years, you CTKers, if you really want to experience the life of the Lord living through you, then he has to reign as Lord in you. That's just the way it is. There's no negotiation with that. It can't be partial. It can't be a compromise. It's the king who will bring you into the chambers, and only a king can lead you in there. Only Jesus as king. For this reason, he was born. And for this reason, he came into the world. If you want Christ living his life in you and through you in fullness, if you want to know the fullness of him, which is what the chambers represent, the deeper you go, the more and more you grow in likeness. And again, that's not imitation. That's not you acting more and more like Jesus. That's Jesus being free to act more and more like himself in you and through you. It's got to be as king. You can't go from one chamber. You can't even enter in without, as far as you know, Jesus being king. And then from every step in every chamber, it just becomes poetic language. It has no meaning unless you're prepared for him to continue to assert himself, the purpose for which he was born, to be king. To be king. We were created for him to be the king of our lives and kings of our hearts. And to establish him in that place, on the throne of our lives, that's the precondition to you making movement into the first chamber and every chamber more and more and more. He will make loving demands at an increasing level. Loving demands at an increasing level as you go deeper and deeper and deeper. So the question comes back to me personally is, Chuck, how bad do you want it? Remember me telling you the story last August? I mean, I cried out this prayer in one language or another for decades, but I was just stirred up again, crying out to God, Jesus, I want it all. I want it all. I want it all. I want it all. And I heard the closest thing to the audible voice of God I ever heard in my office. And he said, so do I. And I get to go first. I can't experience it all unless he very practically is king of it all. And from you go from one chamber to the next, it'll be surprising. Oh, you meant that too. Oh, you meant that too. Because he's the one who gets to talk about kingship. We're not the ones who get to discuss with him, okay, Lord, I think that you're Lord now. No, he gets to talk first. And here's the encouraging thing. That was August. He hadn't stopped talking yet. I haven't gotten to say anything yet. I just keep repenting. Because I just want to go from the next chamber to the next chamber to the next chamber. In the name of the Father, Son, Holy Spirit. Amen.